everybody. This is another episode of the Positude Powwow. This is a continuance of the episode from 2 weeks ago in which I had on my guest Jennifer from Soldier's Heart, and we talked about social media scammers, particularly in that episode, military scammers, people who create false military profiles, steal profiles from active service members and veterans, steal their pictures, and then create these false profiles to take advantage of women. And also got into the fact that some of these guys could be terrorists and using these phone cards to be able to talk to their terrorist buddies in this country. This episode, I'm going to focus on the whole scope in general, doing some more research, talking to some more people. There are so many different types of scammers out there, and yeah, they're not all terrorists. Majority of them probably are not terrorists. I did ask several of the victims that I had spoken to if they would be willing to come on the air and tell their stories and of the emotional trauma that they've had to endure. In fact, one of the women that I spoke to actually had to start therapy because she was so emotionally abused, and it had cost her several $100 by being scammed by one of these people, and she wasn't in a good financial position, and she did have a family to support, but she was hopeful that this man was what he claimed to be, a military soldier, a stand-up guy, the man of her dreams. And she was, hoping that romantically something would happen there, and he would sweep her off of her feet and take her and her children away and give them a better life. That's what everybody wishes for, right? And the fact that she was taken advantage of, having children to support, it sickens me, And I totally can understand and relate to the fact that, and she didn't want to come on the air because even if we didn't use her real name, she was terrified that her family and friends would recognize her voice and confront her about it, that she would be found out. It was embarrassing enough for her to have to go through that. It's been a really long process for her. She is getting better, thank God, but she's still struggling with these things. And trust is a very hard thing for her right now, to be able to trust people. And I totally get that. Some of the other people that I spoke, same deal. They were afraid that their voice would get recognized. And so I also did approach friends of mine who said to me, hey, my friend's been scammed. And I said, would your friend, be willing to come on? Jennifer had a contact that she knew of too. She wasn't able to get in touch with that person before I needed to record, unfortunately. But my friends were like, I'll check and I'll get back to you. And I didn't hear anything. And I would assume that it was for the same reasons that the people that I spoke to didn't want to come forward. They didn't want to be embarrassed. They didn't want to put their voices out there in a public setting in case they would be discovered by people that they cared about because of the embarrassment that they've had to face already. So I do understand, but God always finds a way. In the course of my doing some more investigation this week, it took about 30 seconds to find one of these guys. I looked at his pictures on my fake profile, started to talk to him, couldn't speak English. So I called him out and I went to write on his picture, fake profile, ladies, be careful. And as I did that, somebody already beat me to it. There was already a post from another woman who had written on the guy's wall, this is a fake profile, ladies, don't be fooled. So I messaged her and I said, hey, have you been taken advantage of by this guy? And she came back with, no, actually, I haven't been taken advantage of by this guy, but I found out about this kind of thing about a year ago, and I've sort of made it my life's work to stop these people. She's in the past year taken down many, many fake accounts. Sometimes it takes months to be able to get an account totally closed out. And she is very frustrated with Facebook and Instagram because she doesn't feel that they pay attention to a lot of us when we report these fake profiles. She said that they don't do anything about it the majority of the time. I would be inclined to agree with that. I think that's probably a valid statement. However, in my opinion, as I said on the last show, even if we can take down one and inconvenience them by taking the time out to create another profile, that's less people that they're going to be affecting. It takes 30 seconds, literally, to block and report, less than a minute's time. It's not that much time lost to be able to even just report that one person in hopes that that account will be investigated. Now, last time we focused on primarily military scammers. I did come across a lot more of those this week. What happened in my experience was the first time that I put up an Instagram post with a picture regarding fake profilers bugging me, it seemed to come to a complete and utter standstill for like 3 to 4 days. I didn't get any hits from anybody with questionable names or what immediately I could recognize to be fake profiles. And then as that picture, though, got buried, according to my social media expert, I need to post a picture a day. So 3 or 4 days into the feed, you know, 3 or 4 more pictures come up and that would get buried. I start getting hit up again by these guys. And so I post another one and then it calmed down for 3 or 4 days. And then, you know, that picture would get buried a little bit and it started up again. So it was a very cyclical thing for me. It's been, I think I've been like 35 days on Instagram. I'll just let them follow me and then usually wait for them to approach me. Or if I have a few minutes, I'll type, hey, and see what they say and then get rid of them that way, talk to them a little bit. Now, I know at last episode we talked with Jennifer and Jennifer said, don't waste your time, just get rid of them. But, you know, I started to think about this week and talking to more people that had been fooled by these guys. I thought, if I have a couple minutes here and there, it doesn't hurt to take 5 minutes to talk to a person, report a mistake, write on their picture, and block and delete them. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time on it, but a couple minutes here and there is definitely helping the cause, I think. So I'm going to continue to do that. This week was a very hectic week for me between working my job, doing my ministerial work. Last week was Easter. I had family in for several days. I was cooking, cleaning, entertaining my family, spending time with them, working in between that time. It was just a really very hectic period for me the last couple of weeks, more so than usual. And usually I'm hitting the ground running. I'm, you know, anywhere between 12 to 15 to 18 hours a day working, whether it be my physical job, my ministerial work, correspondence, social media stuff, ways to promote my shows and my podcast, you know, just everything. I'm really busy all of the time. And I'm also taking online biblical classes at a college level for my full 2-year ministerial degree. Even though I'm ordained, I want to have that 2-year degree behind me so that it makes me more legitimate in the eyes of the people that I'm helping. Also, down the road, I want to do a whole lot more with my ministry. I want to branch out, maybe someday have a brick and mortar place to be able to do my work attached with a soup kitchen. Yeah, I've got lots of things that I'm working on. I've got some travel plans coming up in the future. I've got friends flying in and visiting me from the South. I've got a lot going on. In addition, also personally speaking, I'm entertaining some really huge, vast life changes, physical location changes, I mean, but that's something that I really don't want to get into right now and divulge too much of. At any rate, I was up late one night and I was doing some quizzes and some studying, trying to finish up my online course, I was getting close to the deadline and I was behind because of everything else going on in my life. So I just took like an hour. I needed a break. I'd been working all day. I'd been doing correspondence. I did work for my podcast. I just was all over the map. And I wanted to relax and laugh a little bit. And I thought, well, let me take this hour just out of my day and, you know, get a couple of laughs by going on Instagram and engaging some of these fake profiles and taking some of these guys out just 1 hour. So I did. And the two guys that I talked to, what I discovered was a really quick way to determine if they were a phony was, of course, you know, you're paying attention to their verbiage, you're paying attention to their written word, how they word things, their grammar. But a way that I found out to pick them out really quickly, even if they were pretty proficient with the English language, would be to ask them things that they wouldn't normally know as foreigners, i.e. things about music and things about their location, about the state that they claim to live in. So the first guy that I spoke to, Brian Jolley, J-O-L-L-E-Y 889, claim to be a resident of Missouri, but originally from North Carolina. I don't know why I was driven to, but something told me to just ask him about the state nicknames. So I did. I said to him, "So how do you like the show me?" He didn't respond at all. And I said, "Well, what about Bullion?" Because one of the lesser known nicknames for Missouri is Old Bullion, B-U-L-L-I-O-N. And he kind of LOL'd it. And I said, "Well, you know, again, you know, what do you think about Bullion?" And he waited several minutes, and it almost felt like he was Googling the word or something. And then he came back with, "Oh, I like silver and gold. I wish that I had a van full." And I said to him, "Well, what about show me?" And he said, "Oh, do you want to see?" And I said, "Sure." And then I kind of jumped back a little bit. I'm thinking to myself, geez, I hope he doesn't send me like a naked picture or something, because that would be kind of bad. That would be kind of gross. But he didn't. He just laughed it off and kept talking about gold and silver. He told me previous to that he had lived in North Carolina. So I said, "Well, what about the Tar Heel? Do you like the Tar Heel?" And he had absolutely no response to that at all. And like I said, you know, visually in my mind, it was kind of funny. I could picture him like Googling up Tar Heel. But before that, he claimed from his pictures, there were some military pictures on his site. And I looked closely at his uniform, and the tag over his chest didn't match the name that he claimed to be, Brian Jolly. I asked him what his rank was in the military. He claimed to be a military sniper. And so I asked him what his rank was. And the rank that he gave me didn't match the patch on his arm. So, you know, I told him, I said, "Well, I just think it's really cool because a lot of my family served in the military. My dad served in the military. By the way, well, you must be pretty high up there. What's your pay grade?" He couldn't tell me. And he kind of, you know, "You want to ask that?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I do. I think it's cool. You know, what pay grade are you as a sniper according to the rank?" You know, the rank that he claimed to be, which didn't match his uniform. So then we went into the nicknames, and then I was like, "You know what? You know, you're a phony. You're not a sniper. You're a fake profile. And I'm about to block and report you." So I did. And then the next guy that I spoke to, he approached me first, "Hey, sweetheart," and sent me a picture of roses, like we talked about last time. These guys didn't use "dear," which most of the other ones that I've spoken to before that used "yes, dear," "no, dear," "hey, dear." He was like "sweetheart" or "honey" or something. "Hi, beautiful." That's what it was. "Hi, beautiful." And sent me a picture of, you know, like a meme of a dozen roses. You know, again, the roses. So I talked to him and I said, "Hi." This guy, Harry Kane, HARRYKANE 090, pretended to be an orthopedic surgeon doctor. Because, you know, in the United States, orthopedic surgeons always refer to themselves as orthopedic surgeon doctors, right? He told me that he was in Pakistan on a UN mission saving lives on a base in Pakistan. Now, let me go back to the first guy, Brian Jolly. Another thing that struck out at me was the pictures that he showed of his house, supposedly his house that he just bought, and he would miss his house so much when he went away. If you look closely at the pictures, there were two different houses, and in the one, it was a European license plate on the vehicle that was in the driveway that he claimed to live in Missouri with, because everybody drives around in Missouri with European plates, right? But, you know, same MO, both of these guys were widows, widowers, but first guy claimed to be a widow. Harry Kane, though, his language was a little bit better. He actually claimed to be a widower, and that his wife and child died in a plane accident. First guy, his wife died of cancer. You know, you think they come up with something unique, like, you know, "My wife died of a fungal toe infection" or something. But no, they always seem to go with cancer. And then this guy, well, he was a little different, plane crash. It's just surprising that they all use pretty much the same MO. You know, they claim to be widows. Some of them claim to still have children, some of them not. And always they send pictures of their houses or post pictures of their houses. This orthopedic surgeon, the house that he posted, obviously was from some kind of realty site. And the outside of it doesn't match up to what I would anticipate. I mean, I know lots of doctors, they don't live in ranch-style homes. Their homes are a little bit more extravagant as a general rule. But this guy, Brian King 090, said that he was from Texas. And so he was in Pakistan as an orthopedic surgeon doctor saving lives. He said to me, "Can you send me a picture?" I said, "My picture's already on Instagram. You can get it off of there." And then he did. He sent me my picture back. I go, yeah, that's me. So he sent me two pictures of himself, or what he claimed to be himself. And the thing that I found hysterically funny was in the one picture that he sent me of him on what he claimed to be the base in Pakistan, it was like a schoolroom setting. It didn't even look to be an office setting. And in the background, this orthopedic surgeon doctor, when I tried to enlarge the picture, it wasn't very clear, but you have quite a bit of medical background. And it looked amazingly to me like a fetus in utero. And then I said to him, what's the picture of in the background there? What's the x-ray of, which was an ultrasound? He said, oh, it's an x-ray of a chest wound of a soldier who had a bullet wound whose chest that I saved. I was like, really? So being he was from Texas and I have a bunch of buddies in Texas, I asked about music and dancing. I said, well, do you like to dance? He said, yeah, I like to dance. And I said, well, what kind of dances do you like? Oh, I like blues, slow and easy. So I asked him who his favorite blues artist was, and he came back with Michael Jackson and Don Williams. Now, Don Williams is one of my favorites, so I asked him what his favorite song was, and of course, he came back with Don Williams' most favorite song, and I asked him his second favorite. Took him probably 5 minutes, and I, again, can picture him Googling, and he came up with another lesser-known song of Don Williams. And then I asked if he knew of Jeff Healey Band, which is one of my favorites, and he said, yeah. And I said, well, what's your favorite song? And again, he came back with a very lesser-known song from them. You know, of course, their biggest hit was Angel Eyes. It's my favorite. But he came back with a very lesser-known song. So I anticipated that, you know, he obviously Googled it, and, you know, whatever song came up, he just picked that one. So my buddy from Texas, who's actually from Texas, my older buddy, Tex, we talk about music sometimes, and he's older, so his generation of music is a lot different than the stuff that I listen to, and my music is very diverse in nature. I listen to everything. I like all kinds of music. We were talking one day about the Traveling Wilburys, who I like a lot. He called them the Traveling Wildebeest, so I used that. And I said to the guy, well, hey, do you like the Traveling Wildebeest? Yes, I do. It must be love. We like all the same groups. Or earlier that day, I was thinking of a movie that I had seen several years ago. It was a comedy called The Full Monty. So that just came to mind. So immediately I said to him, do you like the song The Full Monty by them? That's like my absolute favorite. And he said, yes, I do. That's my favorite. So I was like, really? He asked why I was alone and I was so beautiful and women or men there must be blind to not see how beautiful you are. And he asked, you know, what state I lived in. And I was about over it. Hey, I've had my cup of coffee. I've had a little bit something to eat. My break's about over here. I got to get back to my studies. Time to shut this guy down. I asked him a little bit about his background. And I said, well, where are you from? Because he knew I was recognizing the fact that there was a language barrier because I had to ask him to clarify a couple of statements that he made. And I said to him, so you're from Texas. You're born and raised in Texas. Are you originally from the United States? And he said, no, that's why my English isn't so good. He said, I was born in the UK. And I said, oh, you were born in England. And that's why your English isn't so good. Because, you know, British people speak, what, Spanish nowadays or something? But he says, no. He says, I was born in the UK. I'm half Mexican and half America, no N. And that's why my English isn't so good. My parents moved to Texas, and so that's why I live in Texas. I thought to myself, this guy's got a pretty elaborate story. This is pretty funny. Well, little did he know, I actually have family in England as well. I asked him how he liked Burberry pudding. Burberry's a plaid. He said, I love it. It was one of his favorites. Because before that, I had asked him what was his favorite English dish. And of course, he came back with fish and chips. You know, everybody knows fish and chips. So I said, how do you like Burberry pudding? And again, you know, Burberry's a plaid. Everybody knows that. And he's like, I love it. I said, oh my gosh, it must be love. And then I pretty much said, I tricked you. This is a scam. You're a fake profile. Wrote a couple things on his pictures, blocked and deleted. But I had fun with that one. I really did. And then I went back to my studies and was up into the night doing my study work and took a little break from that, but it was fun. When I went to write on this other guy's picture, I noticed that there was already a comment there from another woman. And I was like, wow, this is cool. And it said, beware ladies, this is a fake profile. So I actually messaged her and I said, did this guy scam you? And she came back with, no, this guy didn't scam me, actually. I've made it my life's work to bring these people down. I found out about these kind of scammers about a year ago. A couple of them had approached me. It made me very angry that they were taking advantage of women. Basically, she's made it her life's work to investigate these people, try and get their profile shut down. She did tell me that she had a lot of frustration with Instagram and Facebook. She didn't feel like they did a lot to stop these profiles once they were reported. In her opinion, she didn't feel as though they paid attention to the reports of this being fake profile. And I would have to agree with that for the majority of them. They probably don't. They probably get inundated with them. But in my opinion, again, everyone that we can take down on the chance, it takes literally 30 seconds to write on somebody's picture, block, and report them. A minute if you write an explanation as to why you feel it's a fake profile. So it doesn't take up much time. Even if they've got 10 accounts, that's one less that they're able to affect women with. It's one less that they're able to take advantage of people on. And you know what? So what? They can create another one. I get it, but we're still helping. This woman was amazing to me because here she is spending her time shutting down these accounts. And in some cases, she said it's taken 2 to 3 months to totally shut down a fake profile or an account. And she's spending a lot of time and effort on this. She's made it her own personal cause in educating women. Her whole page on Instagram is devoted to fake profile scammers of all different types. This week, I had a little more experience with that. I actually had a woman, one picture, who approached me, told me that she was sent by the Facebook staff to notify me that I had won something. I shut her right down immediately, blocked and reported her. And then there was another one that wanted to get me to buy something, I don't know, to shut them down. But this woman has made it her life's work to take these people down. And she has given me a wealth of information to share with you. I asked her to come on the show tonight. She divulged some personal information to me as to why she wasn't willing to do that here. And for the sake of this show, I'm just going to go ahead and call her Ida. But because of the work that she's done this past year, and because of how deeply engrossed she's become in it, it's almost become somewhat of an obsession for her. It's caused a lot of personal problems in her relationship with her husband and with her children, with her immediate family. She actually said to me at one point, I'm not kidding you. My husband is ready to divorce me over this. He's asked me to stop. He wants me to get out of this entirely. He's worried about the amount of time that I'm spending on it. And also because they've received some actual threat because of it. And some really kind of spooky things have happened to her as a result of what she's done, her investigations into these fake profilers and her reporting them. And I know that she's listening tonight. Ida, I know you're out there, and I just want to thank you for all of the work that you've done and that you continue to do at risk, personal risk to yourself and also to your personal relationships with your family. To me, you're a true American hero, even though most people would laugh and say, oh, she's just got nothing better to do with her time. I feel like she's making a real difference and she's educating people. And the amount of hours and time and dedication that she's put into her personal mission, I feel is very admirable. And so I just want to give you credit for all of the work that you're doing. And so I asked her to come on. And another reason that she didn't want to come on the air is because, you know, I'm not very social media wise. As you know, that's how I actually started finding out about these people was when I opened up my Instagram account a little over a month ago. But there are location settings on your social media sites. And there were some people that actually found out where she lived, that it's my understanding that she had shut down their fake profiles, and they were taking a lot of money from people. And when she was able to get at them and shut them down, they retaliated toward her and I guess had made some threats toward her. And there was one instance that she told me of where she, I guess, had shut this guy's profile down. Well, he found out where she lived, and the next day she got a dozen roses from him on her doorstep. That's crazy, especially when you have a family that you're worried about and children. Your husband doesn't want you doing this type of thing anyway. To know that somebody actually discovered her physical address where she lived, that's really scary. And still, she's continuing her work. She found a way to set off her locations, I guess, on social media, but her family is is discouraging her from keeping up this work. They want her to stop, and they want her to stop entirely. Ida has some physical problems as well. And the other reason that she didn't want to come on the show tonight is because she's had some surgeries and her voice sounds very different and it's very, very distinct. And she was afraid that should she come on and do the interview with me, that much like the victims that we had spoken about earlier, one of her family members or friends would find out that she had done this interview and her husband and her family would be very displeased with her for having done so. Out of respect for her and her situation, I totally understand that. And I told her, you know, I appreciate it. You're giving me the information that you've given me, but totally get it. And I wouldn't want to put you in any jeopardy. And I certainly don't want to cause any more problems for you or your family. I have to give her a lot of credit, but I also have to respect her want and her need for privacy. Threats are not something to be taken lightly. We know how many crazy people are out there. You just never know. They know where you live. What's to say that they're not going to try and, God forbid, hurt her at some point? So I totally understand. And she said to me, look, I'll talk to you. I'll tell you everything that I've learned. I'll share everything with you. I think it's important. We need to educate women. We need to get the word out there. Anything that you want to know, ask me. I'll be happy to help you in any way that you can. I just don't want to go on the air. And that's totally fine. And some of the things that she shared with me are just, I think, vital information, things that I hadn't discovered. One of the things that she told me was, as a result of her reporting these scammers and writing on pictures, women actually started to contact her and let her know that they had been victims of the profile that she was writing on, that they had been taken for money. And there was one woman who actually was, I think she said a single mom, but she had kids and she lived in, I think, Spain. It was a different country. And she had been scammed out of like $1,250 from this one particular fake profile. And as soon as she gave him the money, within 10 minutes, he shut his page down and she wasn't able to reach him anymore. The way that she recounted, this was a mom who was struggling to feed her family. She put her trust in this guy and he took terrible advantage of her. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's money that she could have spent for her children. I guess this woman was very distraught. When she contacted her, it took her a while to tell Ida of exactly how much she had been robbed of and to talk about the details of her situation and how this gentleman was able, man, I won't even call him a gentleman, was able to get the money from her, what he said and did in order for her to be able to be convinced in her eyes that he was legitimate to give him the money. This woman was suicidal. Ida said she spoke to her nonstop for a couple of days to pretty much talk her down. The woman was going to kill herself. And they've made friends. And now Ida checks on her. She messages her once a day just to make sure that she's okay and that she's doing all right, that she's surviving and she's getting through and making sure that she knows that she's got someone to talk to, that Ida's there to support her and to talk to her so that she doesn't attempt suicide. And there again, you know, it's another example of this woman being a good human being, a compassionate human being, an empathetic human being to somebody that suffered really terribly as a result from one of these scammers. Her page has grown exponentially. She was telling me that she would get as many as 75 friend requests a day. A lot of them are from women that have contacted her because she's written on these guys' pictures and told her many, many stories of how they've been scammed and taken advantage of. But also, just like with me with the interview trolls, a lot of these guys, because of the work that she was doing, started to troll her page and got a hold of her and was conversing with her. And I guess this was a way for them to be able to threaten her because she had shut down other pages. They would make another fake profile and come on and try and get at her that way, you know, message her that way and tell her that they were aware, I guess, what she was doing and, you know, making threats. In fact, there was one guy that she took down that multiple women had contacted her, and she started adding up the amounts that these women said that they had given to this guy. She said it came up to $276,000 from January. She said that a lot of the women, though, after she spoke to them, heard their stories, she unfollowed them or didn't follow them and lost track of them. But that guy's name He went by the name of Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-N-E-I-S-E. So she actually, it took her several months, but she found the original Stephen niece. And no, it took him a month to get back to her. And he said that he didn't even know that his photos were stolen, but that there was nothing that he could do about it. So this guy actually knows that there's someone out there with a fake profile of him that's stealing thousands and thousands of dollars from women. But he claims that there's nothing he could do about it. I had actually, the profile that I had posted the picture on were her, or had posted rather on the picture where she had already written, his name was Jay Routier, R-O-U-T-I-E-R, Jay Routier, 29. He was another one that I had talked to earlier in the week, and it just took a second to realize he was fake. And so I went in to write on his picture, and that's where I came up with her name. She said that some of the pictures of the ones that she investigated, she just knew them to be models. She had recognized them as models. So what she would do is she would Google it, and that's how she would know that they were phony. And that's how she found the niece guy. She Googled it and got his email address and sent him an email, but there was nothing that he could do. So her response to him was that, well, she knows that's his picture. And so every time she saw a fake profile with his picture on it, she was going to write on it because she knew who he was legitimately from corresponding with him. And so anybody that came up with a fake profile with his picture, she was going to go right on there and write on it that she knew it was a fake because she actually talked to the guy who was the real Stephen Nee. So I asked her to tell me about some of the experiences that she had with the women that had contacted her. And what she told me was she lives at, in the state of Michigan. And she says that Michigan has the biggest, she claims that Michigan has the biggest Muslim population in the United States. So she has a lot of interaction with Muslim people. So she's able to pick out their accents. And what she does is when she's helping a person that thinks that they're being scammed, she'll have them, a lot of them do, as we stated in the last interview with Jennifer, want you to go on to Hangouts. So when these people entice these women to go on Hangouts, she'll tell them to do an audio call. And at some times she does a three-way call with these people. I don't know how she does it, whether or not they have two separate phones. I'm not sure. I didn't ask her the particulars. I didn't go into that much detail with her, but somehow she gets a three-way call going and she's able to hear the guy's voices as they're speaking to these potential victims. And she says a lot of them that she's discovered are in fact Muslim, and the other percentage are Nigerian. That she said she's found a lot of them that are fake scammers that are Nigerian. You know, we hear about that in social media, that a lot of them are Nigerian scammers, right? But she said, I can hear their voice right away. I can pick out their dialect and their accent. And I tell the women, you know, that's not an American, that's a Muslim, or that sounds like a Nigerian, et cetera. That's another way that she's able to prevent these women from being scammed. She also told me that I refuse to go on Hangouts, she said, because I know that's what a lot of them use when they're fake profiles and I'm trying to bring them down. And they asked me to go on Hangouts. I just simply refuse to do so. I don't even go on Hangouts. And we talked about the fact that, just as Jennifer and I did a couple weeks ago, that a lot of legitimate soldiers use Hangouts, and why the bad guys use Hangouts, because it's a secure way for them to talk back and forth to people. It's a way in which they're not able to be detected through Hangouts. It's like Skype. It's a newer avenue and it's more secure. There's less interruption there. There's less of a percentage of a chance of them being, you know, their messages and stuff being intercepted, and then consequently them being found out and discovered by outside sources who may be eavesdropping, i.e. the government. When we talked about Harry Kane 090, she also said, yeah, she's got a lot of them that pretend that they're surgeons. And one of the things that I found very interesting was she actually does her homework. She found several websites and ways to click and drag pictures and check them onto other websites to see if their picture shows up as another fake profile. So she doesn't just go on to these random sites, and if a person's vague on Instagram, maybe just has a couple of pictures or not a lot of information, she doesn't outright accuse them of being a fraud until she verifies that through one of the avenues that she's found. These scamming sites that actually have listed scammers have previous scammers on them. So she does her homework. She's very diligent and she's very methodical in her approach. And she has verifiable means by looking at pictures and verifying pictures and clicking and dragging pictures to verify that these guys are people that have been reported by others to be scammers. And there's a couple of different websites that she uses. And she has some experience too with people that she believes are actually people that could be connected to some terrorist organizations as well. When we talked about it, she said that she knew that there's some of them were terrorists. I didn't go into that with her and ask her, how do you know? But I'm going by what she tells me, and I do trust her. I believe that she's legitimate. And again, she's helping a lot of people. Her claim with Hangouts, too, is from talking to other women, is it is a psychological approach, just like narcissism is, or any other form of mental abuse. Trafficking, we know with children with trafficking, what they do is these bad guys will get a child's trust and isolate them from their family. Let them know that I'm the only person that you can trust. You can't trust your family. You can't trust your parents. You can't trust your friends. Again, a very narcissistic, very twisted emotional approach. One thing that she brought to my attention, which makes perfect sense and was something that I really hadn't given a lot of thought to, was that these guys do exactly the same thing. She said that they isolate you there and then they start brainwashing people there, which is why she refused to go to Hangouts, because they isolate you on there, they get you alone, and they start to twist your mind and tell you that, you know, I'm the only one for you, and, you know, reasons what that they keep needing to send money to these people, really start to scam them, especially when they get into the higher dollar amount. She said a lot of money. I said, well, you know, the soldiers use Hangout, and she said, yes, I know that, but I told my friend from the way that they type, because of her experience of living in a highly populated Muslim area, a lot of them do seem to be Muslim. The ones at least that try to, you know, isolate you and play the mind games with you on Hangouts. Now, she did say too that she had experience with Russian scammers. So she's been all over the map. We also spoke about the fact, their terms of endearment, that a lot of them use dear or beautiful. And she came right back with, yeah, dear, I want to make you my queen. That's another one that they use. I want to make you my queen, my princess. That's another catchphrase that they'll use. She also was in agreement that a lot of them say that their wives died, you know, whether it be of cancer or giving birth, but yet their photographs are people in their 60s and they talk about their wife just, you know, they're just recently becoming a widower, that their wife died giving birth. A lot of discrepancies there. I mean, it's common sense. She said, too, in her experience, a lot of them will claim to have at least one child that's in a boarding school. Another interesting fact that we did not address on the previous show, we were talking about how these guys want you to take pictures of the iTunes cards and scratch off the back. The last episode, we focused more on the military, fake military profiles that potentially could be terrorists. What the majority of these guys use the phone card for is, you know, when you scratch off the back, there are sites that you can go to and they'll buy back your gift cards, you know, iTunes cards, gift cards, things like that. And so, you know, that's how these guys, the ones that are the real big scammers, are making a lot of money, is they'll, you know, they'll have you scratch off the back of the card and they'll take a picture of it. And then they'll send that information to a company that buys these cards, a $1,000 gift card. The company takes a percentage. So say you buy this guy a $1,000 gift card, they'll give the company $200 to cash, you know, to get the cash value of the card, and then they'll pocket $800 of it. So it's a really quick, easy way to make potentially big money. And if they've got 40, 50 women on the hook at a time, I mean, picture that. I mean, that's a lot of money. Even if it's $10, $15, $20 these ladies are sending at a time, add that up times 30 to 50 women. And if you talk to them too, you'll notice they go dead for a while. There'll be periods of silence. As I explained in my first interview with the guy that I had interaction with going back, he would have periods of silence where he would be very, very active in the middle of the night. It was very obvious to me that there was pretty good time difference. The time difference matched up with Afghanistan. A lot of these guys will go silent because they're talking to you, they're talking to this one, they're talking to that one, they're talking to several different people at a time when they're active. And another reason, as I mentioned earlier, is because if you confuse them, they take the time to try and Google that expression or Google that group, you know, that musical group or whatever, Don Williams, and come up with a song by Don Williams or Jeff Healey or whatever. So they're researching and finding answers to your questions and your statements to try and authenticate themselves. But also they're talking to several women sometimes at a time. One of the things that I noticed was one of the guys that I talked to, you could tell that he was talking to other women because I had told him the amount of children that I claimed to have in trying to draw him out. And we talked about it for a couple sentences. And then the next time that we spoke, after a period of silence, he couldn't remember how many kids I had, or the fact that I claimed to have had a daughter. He called it a son, you know, stuff like that. Also, in addition to the iTunes cards, Amazon gift cards, in her experience, is a big one, as well as the iTunes cards when they ask you to purchase the cards, because that's another one that's bought back by some of these companies. Another thing that she recommends to women is to definitely do the audio call if they're on the Hangout, but if they can do a video call, better yet, because obviously you can tell a lot about somebody's ethnicity most of the time by looking at them. You know, a person that claims to be Greek or Italian or English, as my buddy there, Harry Kane, claimed to be, and then, oh, then he claimed to be half Mexican, half America. But, you know, by looking at a person, you can kind of discern their generational background, at least to a degree. It's pretty obvious if they're Caucasian or not, which is why a lot of them won't agree to a video call. They'd prefer, if anything, to do an audio. At that point, we were conversing, and she sent me a picture of the fake profile guy, Stephen Neese, the one that was pretending to be Stephen Neese, the one that got, she says, $276,000 is what she found out from people who contacted her and just adding up the figures. I asked her, I said, are there any other names that this guy goes by so that I can help by telling people? And she came right back with James Lewis, James Louis, and Maurice Hewson, Hewson 3. And she said he's got several different accounts under the name of James Lewis, but she was able to get his Facebook and Instagram taken down under some of the names. And she said that she thinks that he's actually a Russian scammer. She said he typed very well and had very good English skills. And it was a different kind of conversation. His conversation was different than what her experiences were with Nigerian and Muslim scammers. She said it took her 3.5 months to get them removed off of Facebook and Instagram, but she did not stop until she got them completely off of the internet. And she did say, as an aside, that there's another guy that's now using Maurice Hewson, Hewson 3, but that's not the same guy. This is a different one, and he's a Nigerian scammer. And she said he's still on Instagram. And she said something about Verizon. She was supposed to close it. They were supposed to close his account, but it was still active as of yesterday. You know, then again, she went into how she's conversing with all of these women and educating them. But I said to her, it was kind of funny, because I said, well, the Nigerian scammer probably stole this guy's profile pictures and stuff for Maurice Hewson when they were in fact stolen originally from somebody else. She also emphasized the fact that what to her, with her mission, was more important was, as well as bringing down these fake profiles, she thought that it was more important, and I totally agree, she says, so let's teach people how to use social media. Let's educate people how to be aware of these social media frauds and how to use social media to their advantage by investigating these people. One thing that we shared in common is that she has several family members in the military also, and has 100% respect for our military and hates the way that these profiles are being stolen from our legitimate military people. One of the things that was kind of interesting to me that Ida also shared was that in her experience, in her months of doing this type of investigative work and shutting down fake profiles, is that she's noticed a spike, that there are more and more of them daily than ever before. So that troubles me because it indicates to me that there are many more people, American people out there, that are gullible and susceptible to these types of schemes than maybe I initially thought. To me, it seems kind of transparent. After a couple of minutes of talking to these people, you can figure out what they're about. The fact that more and more people are doing it indicates that there are many more gullible people out there that are falling prey to this type of scheme, because why else would they continue to do it if it weren't something that were profitable to them? You know, it would just diminish somewhat, I would think, rather than grow in numbers. So that's kind of scary to think about. So many of us potentially could be taken advantage of by these people, because we are trusting and wanting to think the best of people. And if somebody gives us a sob story about how they're not able to eat, or they can't afford to feed their family, or they lost their wife and they're lonely and they're looking for that soulmate, the fact that so many of us are at that emotional level where we would actually be receptive and empathetic, so quick to trust a total stranger with money that we worked hard to obtain, you know, and so many of these women are struggling to begin with. I think about that woman that she told me about that was ready to commit suicide because she had spent that $1,250. And I did go back and look at my note. She was from Spain and she had several children. But just the fact that that poor woman was taken advantage of with the little bit that she had been able to save and put aside for her family, that's just disgusting to me. That somebody would take advantage of her, and the fact that she would be so deeply upset. I mean, I can imagine, you know, her taking that $1,250 and therefore, you know, maybe not being able to pay her rent for the month or feed her children for the month, all in the hopes that this gentleman was going to, you know, come to her rescue and save her. How emotionally low and guilty that woman must feel, you know, to look into the face of my child. Had I given away, you know, my rent money for the month, or my grocery money for the month, or both, the shame and the guilt that I would feel not being able to provide for my family because I trusted a total stranger. I just, emotionally, how devastating that would be and is to these poor people, to these women that trust these guys and fall victim to them. It's deplorable. It's disgusting. The months of the emotional trauma that they've suffered, the months, maybe years, that it would take for them to get over that type of incident. Maybe right around the corner, here's that woman's real soulmate. And because of the experiences that she's had, fallen prey like this and being taken advantage of, not being able to trust the guy that comes along that could be the right one for her and the right person for her, and maybe somebody that would fall in love with her and be with her and want to be her other half and want to be a dad to her children. The fact that because she'd been through all this, she was afraid and didn't look or didn't get to know the real guy, you know, the real legit guy, were he to walk into her life tomorrow. The emotional devastation, the mental devastation that ensues from this. You know, a lot of us make fun of and make light of people that are taken advantage of from others. Funny that some of the, you know, stuff that these guys use is, you know, comical to me. But when I step back and look at the situation and I think to myself, how would I feel? Or how must that person feel? It's really not funny at all. It's very, very sad, and it sickens me. It makes my heart cry out for these people that have been taken so severely, taken advantage of. It's unsettling, and I pray for them. I do, every day. What are some other ways that Ida has discovered to verify whether or not a profile is fake? And she does her background. I mean, I got to give her so much credit. She doesn't just call out a guy unless she's matched up a picture or a profile to someone that's shown up on some of these resource sites as a proven fake profiler. She said when they send her a message on Instagram, she checks militaryscammers.com. She checks YouTube military scammers and rip and scam. And I said, well, how do you do that? And she said, well, if you go to YouTube, there are videos. And the videos I show, and I actually looked at a couple of them, they show pictures of these guys so that if, you know, you're corresponding with somebody on Instagram, you can go through these videos and look to see if his picture matches up with one of the ones on the YouTube videos that are reported. So that's one way that she checks is YouTube. She also mentioned to me that she goes to militaryscammers.com. And then Rip and Scam, that was another big one. And I checked that site out. It's actually pretty cool. You can go on there and look to see if it's someone that's been reported as a fake profiler. And then she also mentioned PinterestMail.com. And she mentioned a site, MailScammers.com. Now, I haven't checked out all of those. I did go on the Rip and Scam, and I went on the YouTube and the scammers.com. Those are all really cool sites to check out. She's got a way. You'd have to play with it. I'm not so computer computer literate, but on one of those sites, she's found a way where she clicks and drags the picture onto the site to see if it matches up to a scammer. So those are sites that she uses, and those have been very successful in helping her to identify these frauds. Also, you know, let me reiterate, if you're engaging in conversation with one of these guys and, you know, you join the Hangouts, do an audio call. She definitely recommends that you do a video if you're able to, but if not, absolutely do an audio call and you'll be able to tell right away what their dialect is, what their accent is, and you'll be able to distinguish if this guy says he's originally from North Carolina, whether or not that be the case. She's also helped a lot of women by asking them to screenshot the conversations between the woman and the person who's pretending to be a soldier or surgeon or what have you. And then she'll educate them that way based on what the soldiers or the, you know, the fake profiles response were. And she'll, you know, she'll point out to the people, well, see, look at this. This is wrong or this is incorrect. And they said this. And so she's done it that way too, to be able to physically show a person by the screenshot what to look for, which I think is very helpful because in talking with some of the women that I did engage with on these sites, you know, if I went and wrote on a picture, there were a couple that I did message privately and say to them, you know, this guy's a scammer, don't be fooled. And they went back and told the guy, she thinks you're a scammer. And he was able to sweet talk them out of it and make them believe him. I'm not a scammer. You know, she doesn't know what she's talking about, whatever. And then that person would block me. Okay, so when we're engaged in this type of thing, picture yourself being a lowly woman. You know, you want to believe that that guy is really your prince come to save you. And when somebody comes to you from the outside that you don't know either and says to you, hey, look, be careful. This guy's a scammer. He's not a real person. He's taking advantage of you. There are instances that people just don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe that they've been taken advantage of, especially if they've already given this person thousands of dollars. They don't want to believe that they're being taken advantage of. They want to continue to believe that this guy is their knight in shining armor. How emotionally devastating. It's my opinion that with at least the one woman that she was engaging with this guy on Hangouts, and just like we were speaking about earlier, this guy had her so mentally twisted and isolated at that point already that she was thoroughly convinced that he was legitimate, regardless of the amount of money that she had sent him. And that's very troubling to me. That's very upsetting to me. And my heart goes out to her. I pray for her and all of these victims daily. And also for people like my new buddy, Ida, who's making it her life's work to catch these people and bring them down. Even at the potential downfall of her family, she's putting a lot on the line here. She's risking a lot to expose these people. Personally speaking, I didn't ask her to go into a lot of personal detail. She told me what I relayed to you earlier. Would I, in a situation like that, I'm not married, were I to be buried and be in a situation like that, would I handle things the same way that she is? I really don't know. When we're given a mission and God puts something in our lap, and we're driven to fight a particular cause or causes, that's up to the individual themselves, how they want to handle that. How far do they want to go down the rabbit hole? How much do they want to put it at their own personal stake and their own personal risk in order to help others? And in my opinion, what Ida, or what we'll call her for today at least as Ida, is doing is a very valiant effort. And I think that it's something that she should be applauded for and appreciated for, because she's another soldier in the field. She's taken up a cause and she's fighting against bad guys. She's just doing it in a totally different way. And that deserves a lot of credit, I feel. She's putting her personal relationships, her marriage, and her relationship with her children on the line to keep exposing these people. I would find a way to continue my work. Is it worth risking your husband and your family for? That's up to the individual and how important it is to them, how God's spoken to them. A marriage is a very, you know, your children, your family is the most important thing in our lives, right? To risk all of that, to risk losing all of that and still continue what you feel to be a very important personal mission. Pretty high stakes to some people who have said, don't waste your time or don't take the effort. You're wasting your time. It could be spent more efficiently in other ways. Insofar as myself, because I have so many other irons in the fire, it's not something that I'm able to dedicate my time to fully. But for people like, we'll call her Ida, that choose to do that and put her personal life, you know, her physical well-being, her relationships with her family on the line for this cause, it's just extremely noble to me, and it's not something that I take lightly, and I hope that you wouldn't either. This is important. She's making a difference in other people's lives. She's taking down phonies one at a time. She's not out on a military battlefield fighting, doing hand-to-hand combat. She's not in hospital somewhere performing surgery and saving lives, but in her own way, she's making a difference. And I think that's just very commendable, and I give her a lot of credit. Most people wouldn't take 2 seconds out of their day to help somebody cross the street. And, you know, when I think about all of the guys out there whose profiles are being stolen, all of our legitimate military veterans and soldiers who are totally unaware of the fact that their profiles and their pictures of themselves with their families are being violated, are being stolen by frauds. There are people that she's taken down daily that are using legitimate pictures, that maybe those people are totally unaware of the fact that their pictures are being used for these nefarious purposes. She's helping them as well. So more power to you, Ida. I'm very, very thankful again and blessed for the opportunity to have met you. Again, I say God puts things in our laps in mysterious ways. Everybody's drawn together for a reason or a purpose. And sometimes it's not immediately discernible to us, you know, why was this person put into my life or why did this person come across my path? But this one was, it was immediate. We were able to connect. She was able to give me some very valuable information that I think will help people. And it was an instant knock out of the park, an instant home run. And I'm so thankful and appreciative. So that's my show for this evening. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you learned something. We'll continue again next week. I think it's going to be another Positude podcast. And then I want to get back on track with the passages and the prophecy shows. We haven't gotten to some of those in a while. I still want to do my show on music videos and signs and symbols and that. We haven't gotten to that one yet. There are a bunch of shows that I have kind of put on the back burner. Just things seem to happen. It's just like with Ipsy Scammer, one that I did several months ago, things kind of fall into my lap and I feel that it's important. And so, you know, I go down that road and then we jump back on track. I'm guided to share as things come, you know, and sometimes that's the way I roll. Whatever feels right is what I do. So thanks for listening this evening. As always, the music for all of my shows, I Love You, Pat Carr, has been provided by Pat Carr. Please check him out on SoundClip. Pat Carr at pwcarrmusic.com. Give him a listen. Please support him. Buy his albums. He's a wonderful man, and I'm very, very blessed to have his music on my shows. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless you, and have a good night. Bye-bye.